With all the stories that matter across the Northwest, it's Greg Hughes on the 9 to Noon Show on Highland Radio.
Great to have you back listening for the second hour of the programme. Good morning if you have just joined us. A caller says, if the doctor passes you a medical cert for your license can be valid for 3 years. It doesn't have to be every year, of course, but we don't know if Nola is at the end of the 3 years or whether her doctor might pass her for three or not. Driving license, just go into the Letterkenny office. The ladies in there are so helpful, and I'm sure they are. But Finola's not from Letterkenny. Now, of course, she could drive down. She could buy herself a laptop as well. She just wants to ring up, and there is a service there to ring up and book the appointment. But she's being looped between two numbers. But we really appreciate your suggestions, and thank you so much for that. And I've heard great things about the people working in that office in Letterkenny as well, which is good. Keep up the great work. A caller says, if you rent two rooms in your three-bedroom townhouse to nurses, self-catering for the foreseeable future, do you have to register that rental? Do you need planning permission? No parking facilities with this rental. Now, if you rent to the same people for over 21 days in the calendar year or in consecutive days, from my conversation we had with Mura, is that no, this might not apply to you because you're providing long-term accommodation to important workers there. So my understanding is it doesn't. But listen, we haven't actually seen the full text of the legislation yet, I don't think. Caller says, even if you go to book online with an older person's card for a local bus company, they charge you a booking fee. There never used to be a charge with our pensioner card when you didn't have to book online. I'm not sure what the story is with booking fees. Whether or not the government provides enough money to absorb the booking fee, or if some see if it has another revenue stream. I don't know. If anyone in that industry can give me an insight as to why one might charge a booking fee as a private company, let's use that as an example, to someone who has a free travel card. What would be the reason for that? Is it administration? Is it at a minimum? Is there profit in there? A caller says, if you own a property, it should be your own choice to let it short or long term as you wish. Otherwise, if you're told what you can and can't do with it, what value has your title deeds got? It's a tough one, right? Because I understand exactly what you're saying. This, on the face of it, does feel like an overreach by government. But government, perhaps arguably no government, could ever build enough houses to satisfy all housing needs. So what about the rights of people to be able to rent, particularly maybe in their local area? Are they competing rights to those who want to do whatever they want with their second properties or even their principal property? It does feel like people are being coerced into using their property a certain way, which feels a little, I feel a bit uncomfortable with that, but I also have to recognise that there is a huge property need there. So I'm always open to learn, to be educated. I want to hear your views. You're listening, get your phone out. Even if you've never texted a radio station before, you don't just come on air or whatever. It's just to have your say. Text 086 60 25000. WhatsApp that number. You know, you're going to be telling someone in the van beside you or in the office or in the house what you feel. Share it with the entire northwest of Ireland here and the tens of thousands that listen to us outside the county as well. Through streaming platforms or whatever. Your view's really important and we genuinely do want to hear it. You know, lots of shows don't read listeners' comments. We do it purposely because it helps us, I think, helps us to keep our finger on the pulse of what people are feeling out there. Maybe you guys can answer a question. On average, €70 per night on refugees in Ireland, documented or undocumented. Only documented should be here. That's $3 billion a year. We have an average of 148,000 over 80s in Ireland. They could use that money and have their bills paid, heat, electricity, shopping, visa card or something. But we're leaving them in the cold and afraid to eat. They serve their time. They should be on a pedestal and no worries. Why not? We can afford it by the look of it. You see, I understand exactly where you're coming from, okay? And I understand that some people have issues with us looking after refugees, people coming here. But the obvious argument here is as well, okay, that a lot of them want to come here and work and a lot of us want to leave here and work elsewhere, and you can imagine if there were, and we've seen it in past, if there were anti-Irish sentiment in Australia or Canada or America where our young people are going to be welcomed with open arms, and you could say, yeah, but they're working. Yeah, but they're also taking houses in areas that have homelessness. Do you know what I mean? If we wanted to drill down in that, we could sort of say, well, you know. But I accept that, and I'm not being critical of anyone going to another country. But secondly, and this is the really important one, secondly, regardless of your views on our refugees, be they Ukrainian or international protection refugees, please don't think for one second that if we didn't help these people, that that money would in some way be ring-fenced to help poorer people here, to help older people here, to alleviate electricity bills here. There is enough money in this country, dependent on how it's spent or who's given it or who's taxed and who's not taxed. There is more than enough money in this country to meet our international obligations to which we've signed up to as it relates to refugees, but also to make sure that those 375,000 homes that went without heating last year don't, that older people are well looked after, that they can go to hospital and not sit in a chair for 12 hours. Their money is there. Money is not being robbed from those services to look after the refugees. Now, some would want you to believe that, but we all know our hospitals were banjaxed in terms of overcrowding. And this is no slight on the workers. You know what I mean, in terms of all the issues for years, long before the last couple of years. Older people had to go out and march in the streets for certain entitlements. You know, there's always been a high level of poverty, particularly here in Donegal. I don't think it's even worsened, but it's always been there. Because perhaps you could argue that the will hasn't been there to address those issues. But please, don't think for a second that money's being taken that could help older people and spent on refugees, because that's simply not the case. Some of that money's coming from outside the country and so on and so forth. There is enough money here to look after the people that you talk of in your text. And I really appreciate the text, but, you know, let's think freely for ourselves. Let's really break out and think for ourselves. Not, you don't have to listen to me. You don't have to listen to a particular Facebook page. You don't have to listen to RT, whatever it might be. Listen to all of it. And then somewhere in the middle, and I try and find that middle as much as possible on this program, is the reality. You know, people and issues are weaponized to make us feel a certain way, and normally is to push a certain agenda. And that's good for, let's put it, the left and the right as well. So let's try and us here on this program, at the very least, keep it in the middle and think as freely as we can, if any of that makes sense. Oh, my God, such crockery about the ones claiming the COVID payment. We knew this happened, and thank God they were caught and got their day in court. Scandalous. Thousands more got away with it. I think really it was the cluster, wasn't it, that was the that was the problem there. Now, the chief medical officer, as you heard on the program yesterday, has urged older people to reconnect with the world so the COVID pandemic does not steal any more years from their lives. In an open letter to older people, Professor Breda Smith said vaccination has now reduced the most severe risks from virus, and that older people should be confident about re-engaging in social activities. Dorothy Toy is chair of Active Retirement Donegal and joins us on the program now. Good morning to you, Dorothy.
Good morning, Greg.
Do you welcome this intervention from the chief medical officer?
Oh, very much so. Very much so, yeah. Well, I'm involved in the County Active Retirement. At the moment, we have over 100 members, and we're a very active group. We're engaged in walks, coffee mornings. We recently had a weekend away in Galway. And coming May, we're having a trip to Austria. About 30 of us went to Austria. We had a lady join us. Well, she would have been a member, but because of COVID, obviously she hadn't been out and about. So she came on a trip we had about 3 years ago, and it was her first time out in 3 years. She was so delighted to be out and about again, as indeed are many of our members. She just signed Active Retirement. So inviting, so welcoming, a cup of tea and a chat afterwards, just to get them together, Greg.
Yeah.
Just meeting other people, going to the cinema. At the end of every month, we have a meal out in a different restaurant around Letterkenny. And when the weather gets warmer, we're going to organise a trip away to some part of Donegal, maybe down the country, or maybe into the north, and then we'll include a meal in that afterwards.
Brilliant. So obviously most of the people, Dorothy, that you're dealing with, you know, have come back out, effectively. Let me put it like that. Some of them never went in, don't get me wrong. But do you think there are a lot of people, maybe even those that might have been involved in active retirement 2 or 3, 4 years ago, that are still well, that are still, able to get around and all that, but are not doing so because they're fearful? Like, do you think there are a lot of people?
I suppose, Greg, COVID had enough. I think the restrictions that were imposed during COVID were absolutely cruel. I think they were just very, very cruel to older people. They just confined them to their homes. I would say that, I don't know the numbers, but I would say there are certainly people who are still scared of their lives to come out and meet people. You know, if they're going to come out and go shopping, they're going to do it early in the morning when there won't be a crowd of people around in supermarkets. I think it's absolutely awful that they have to stay in because of a fear that was imposed on them during COVID.
Well, let me ask you that a bit more about that, Dorothy. You said what was expected of people was cruel. We were being told that we were saving Granny's life by not leaving the house.
I know. I'm aware of that, Greg. I'm very aware of that. But I think, you know, imposing a 5K restriction on people, you know, if you're going to drive to the beach, you're sitting in a car, you're not out meeting people. You could have gone to the beach and you could have sat in the car, if you know what I mean. Mm. You know, not everybody went out deliberately to interact with other people. I know I'm a grandmother, and I know that I had to stand quite a distance. I couldn't visit my grandchildren. Because of the distance from my home to their home, I couldn't visit them. But when I was allowed to visit them, I got a hug from my granddaughter that nearly squeezed the life out of me. She was so delighted to see me again.
Yeah.
But that wasn't fair. That, you know, to talk to an older person through, I know that it was for our good and it was for their good. I think it was just awful to talk to someone through a window, not being allowed to visit people in hospital.
Did you feel that at the time, Dorothy, or is it sort of on reflection that you've sort of said?
I think a lot of people do look back. Yeah, it was on reflection, Greg.
But are we likely to feel like that because we're able to sit here and talk to each other? You know, because there are going to be people listening who lost older people because they were sick. You know, there was always sort of, other illnesses.
I think not being able to talk to someone in a nursing home. You're in a nursing home, you're lonely, you're detached from your family. You may have dementia, you may have not been able to talk to people. Okay, not all dementia people recognise their families, but I think just a presence of a family member would have just been enormous to them. Just would have made a difference to them. You know, instead of communicating to them through a window.
And it's heartbreaking listening to us, those who didn't get to spend time with their loved ones in the last days of their lives. Or on family members, and I have them myself, of course, who died and their last memories were that distance, that detachment from their loved ones and families. Yeah. You can't allow yourself to think about it because it's so bloody sad.
Well, unfortunately, you can't not allow yourself to think of it, Greg. It was part and parcel of COVID, and it's always going to be there, and that sadness is always going to be in your life because you weren't able to be with your loved one towards the end. You know, when you should have been there to hold their hand, you couldn't do it.
Right.
You couldn't do it. So it's not something you're going to forget.
So our message message beyond that is to particularly older people, is to get out, live the rest of your life.
Today there are more people globally over the age of 65 than children under the age of 5. We're living longer, we're more active, we're engaging in more activities, we're dancing, we're swimming, we're going on trips, we're walking, we're going to the cinema, we're going to the pictures, we're going to the theatre, we're doing everything. We don't sit in anymore. We don't sit around anymore and wait for life. You know, life is not like a remote control. You just get up and change yourself. put the remote to change yourself. Get out and be active, take part in things, get involved in things. And that's very much what we in active retirement do.
Yeah, and I think too there are some, even just listening to us, there are some people listening that they have, you know, their personalities will have changed a little. Do you know what I mean? With some isolation and to try and move through that and get over that and look, get out, see if it's still for you. Do you know what I mean? Don't set barriers up to keep yourself in the house because
we all love to chat and spend time
with each other, don't we, Dorothy? There is nothing. Is there anything nicer than you getting together with a group of your friends and the crack on the bus on the way to the airport to head to Austria? I mean, the crack is 90, like, you don't want to miss out on that. Yeah, all right.
Of course it is. Yeah. You know, there's we have a senior line. It's a confidential line where you can talk privately to someone about loneliness, isolation, conflict, anxiety, and, you know, lack of company.
Mm.
And I think men are less inclined to get involved in things than women.
Yes.
We would have a lot fewer men in our group than we would have women. And I think that's, in a way, that's sad because men don't talk about their problems as much as women do. They're inclined to hold everything inside, which I think is wrong.
And that's across all ages, Dorothy, I think. And we all, as particularly men, need to listen up.
You have to talk
about someone to someone if you're having problems. And most men, the majority of men, have good friends around them, good family around them that want them to say, I'm not feeling great today, or this
open
is how
up,
I'm feeling.
Open up,
just have that conversation. It's so important. Dorothy, do you think, I also hope there's not a case whereby there are older people who are still isolating but are being encouraged to do so by some family members, maybe, that it suits them better if mum or dad doesn't do the whole pile that's stuck in the house. Do you think there's some of that going on, perhaps?
Oh, there is. Yeah, we've come across members who've been advised by families, by their daughters in particular, to get out and to meet people. You know, and they've actually come and joined us in our group, and they're absolutely delighted that they've done so. Because, you know, we're just so active, and we make everybody very, very welcome at the end of our talks. We meet on the second Thursday of every month in the Regional Culture Centre. And at the end of our talk, we'll always have a speaker and talking about maybe making a will or power of attorney or something like that, or just security in your home. But at the end of that meeting, Greg, we'll have a cup of tea and a chat. And our members just love that. It's just that camaraderie and that get-together and just the friendship.
Yeah.
Just knowing that there's someone there, you know, if they're in trouble, they can lift the phone and ring, you know, and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And talk, and that means so much to so many people.
Dorothy, I've enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay,
and I think we might have the Chief Medical Officer on the show in the future, and we'll run through all this again. But for now, thanks so much. Take care of yourself, Dorothy, and enjoy your trips.
Okay.
All right, behave yourself.
I will.
Okay. Bye-bye, Dorothy Toy there, Chair of Active Retirement Ireland. A little earlier on, someone texted in, and they were paying credit to people who were providing a service for them. And I just want to throw the phone lines open now. If you've been out and about, say in a shop, dealing with a business or an individual, you know, anyone from someone who looks after your landscaping or a local shop or a big business or a hotel, if you've been out and about lately in the Northwest, right, tell us the story of your positive experience in customer service. Wouldn't that be nice? Text them into us, 086 60 25000, because often, you know, we have to highlight where there are issues. Okay, that's part of what we do and try and resolve them. But we do know, of course, and we try and platform as much as we can. There's a lot of good out there as well. So if you've been out and about and you've interacted with someone and had a positive experience, maybe they helped you with a service or maybe they helped you with a car or whatever it might be, share that story with us and we'll read it out. And if you want to name check them, that's great too. We don't mind. It could be a business. It doesn't matter. So if you've been out and about, you've had a really positive experience, someone went above and beyond to help you in their job or whatever, get in touch with us and we'll read it out. 086, so spread the love is what I'm trying to say, and maybe support some businesses too. 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts for your suggestions on that. 086 60 25,000. And you know what? Maybe the best answer will give them a lovely, very limited edition 9 till noon show mug. Okay, welcome back to the show. We have Casey Lamb. And I nearly did the Lamba there. Casey Lamb and Ella Oka in studio with us. Both of you, you're very welcome to the programme. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Right, tell us a bit about yourself, Casey. We'll start with you.
First, it's Cassie.
Cassie, sorry. Yes. Right, I was nearly got the Lamb wrong. Got that right.
You're but perfect.
Got Cassie wrong.
Yes.
So it's Cassie.
Cassie, yes.
Go on, Cassie, and fair play to you for correcting me. Go ahead.
No problem.
You're right.
So ISSU is the Irish Second Level Student Union. We represent, uplift student voice all over the country. So really, there's 37 ROs across the Republic of Ireland. So we are just here to listen to all the students, and we're trying our best to represent them.
And when I'm a student, right, and I make representations to you.
Yeah.
Where can you filter that information to? Will you give it to maybe the school, if I'm a member of a particular school, within the schools? Is it to the Minister for Education? Or where does the information go that you would get from students?
Okay, so we have school representatives. So that's from where the school reps come from their school. For example, my school, Loretto. So we have our school reps. And then we would meet with them on a weekly basis, where myself and Elle will be meeting with them in the coming weeks, and we're so excited to meet them. So we'll be meeting with them. Then we pass on their information to the Quishkano, and we connect with them. So myself and Elle work to connect with both those. So we are connecting with the government in general as well. So that's how we would do it.
All right, fair play. Cassie, 14 years of age, by the way, and a student at Loretto Secondary School in Letterkenny. Ella's 15 and is a student in fifth year in Loretto Secondary School, Letterkenny. Is 15 young for fifth year, Ella?
Yeah, I skipped 2A, but I'm turning 16 on Tuesday.
Well done. All right, fair play to you. You'll be barely 18 by the time you finish school. Okay, so tell us why you wanted to get involved with ISSU, or how you became to be involved, Ella.
Well, I originally joined the student council in my school, and usually the school reps come from the student council. And so last year's school rep said that they need a new school rep for the new year, and I just volunteered myself because I thought, why not? Never done this before. And then from there, I ran for regional officer and I got voted alongside Cassie. And then that's just where it all began.
So it kind of like, right, I might get involved. Next thing you know, you're running and campaigning and you're taking on all this responsibility. It's exciting, though.
Yeah, really exciting.
Yeah. And what are you passionate about? What is the issues facing, you know, young people that you think needs to be talked about more?
There is a lot of things like mental health and just in general, like just different things the students are struggling with, which is why we want school reps to come to us and tell us what their students are struggling with, as we represent all students. So we want to hear from students what they're struggling with so we can help them with that.
Yeah, and it's fantastic work, but we are in this space whereby I don't think we've been talking, we've never talked as much about young people's mental health, which is good. I think schools are doing an awful lot of work. They have special days, they've got stuff up on the walls encouraging people to speak, but unfortunately the statistics are showing us that we're seeing record numbers of younger people presenting with self-harm or mental health issues. So whilst we're talking about it, I think we actually have to come up with a solution as well. Do you know what I mean? Because talking in and of itself, Cassie, if you want to come on in this, talking in and of itself is not fixing the problem. So we need a solution.
Yes.
So what do we know what that might be? I don't know. Better supports, better access to services, I presume.
Well, Isu, we are always trying our very, very best to connect with our own region. Me and Ella are both very passionate about mental health. It needs to be solved, you know, but it cannot be solved overnight. It's something that does take time. But, for example, ISSU, we are going to be holding a mental health survey. And this survey is just to see how COVID-19 has impacted second-level students all across Ireland. And we are encouraging every second-level student to please go for the survey. So this survey is just to see how COVID has really affected them, because some students didn't have access to mental health resources. which is kind of hard to believe. It's everyone should have access to it.
Yeah.
And so this is running from the 5th of March to the end of the week, I believe.
And I hope the question in there is, because I want to hear it from young people, what needs to be done? What is not being done that would help? You know what I mean? And maybe it will be access to services. Yeah. Maybe that's the answer. But I don't know, because there are numbers there and what have you. And we're talking about it more than we ever before. But I'm really concerned about the fact that we're seeing numbers increase. And I would love to hear from young people what they think the actual issues are. You're also, both of you are, and I often, in conversations like this and in programmes like this, right, we discuss equality, say, for instance, out in society, and there's people of a certain age, and maybe their views are hardened on certain issues, even in terms of transgenderism or whatever it might be. And what I often say is that, you know, what we're talking about and our attitudes and young people's attitudes is very different. So amongst young people, amongst your peers, is there a better understanding of people being different, having, you know, a different way of life, a different skin colour, a different background? Like, Ella, do you think young people are is there room for improvement, or are we in a good space in that regard in terms of equality and understanding?
Most of it is really good. As we are in the 21st century, it's more modern mindsets. So most people are accepting, but there is some people that do have old-fashioned views, but it's not that common.
What do you think, Cassie?
Here, look, it should not happen. You know, it's something that we shouldn't be sorting up. It should have been sorted a long time ago. It shouldn't be happening. And it's, again, it's like mental health. It's hard to solve. You know, people have their own views. And again, with Ella, it's 21st century and, you know, it's something hard to solve again. So, yeah.
Again, on programmes like this that you probably don't listen to because you're at school or have poor taste. I'm not sure which it is. No, but, you know, we talk about, say, for instance, reform of the Leaving Cert. We talk about how you know, subjects are marked and all this type of stuff. In those conversations, do students feel that their voices are being heard? Now, I know through the ISSU, you're trying to ensure as best as possible that happens. But, Ella, does it feel sometimes that we're talking about you rather than to you?
Yeah, because a lot of the times students aren't really consulted with these. As last year when we were in third year, it was just announced that in 2024, the fifth years will be sitting paper one and for English and Irish, and they weren't consulted with after this was something they would want. They were just told, like, this is what you're doing. So I feel like most of the time it's they just make the decisions for young people without talking to them about it and seeing if that's what they want.
And that was worse for us guys. It's all right for you girls because you mature quicker than us.
Oh.
So that was actually literally one of the reasons it would disadvantage boys, because we develop mentally slower. Some of us never fully, like myself, for example. I'm still a kid. Right, okay, so Norma Foley eventually did have to backtrack on those plans, which I think, you know, it's generally conceded those types of exams require a two-year lead in. And also, although Ella, you didn't do transition year, you don't want students that choose to do transition year worrying about an English paper at the end of fifth year one, I don't think. Right, so as well as what's planned and what you already do, the mental health survey in March is a big one, I think.
Yes.
And the findings of that aren't going to sit gathering dust. They're going to be presented to the relevant minister, Mary Butler, I believe it is.
Yes.
You're also looking for ideas from students, presumably. Is it? What do you do you want to take this one, Ella, and then sure you can add a bit, Cassie, as well?
Yeah, so we are looking to meet with the school representatives. As me and Cassie are only two students, and we represent all the students in Donegal, so we want to hear from them and hear what they would like us to do for them.
Mm. Yeah, Cassie?
So, as you're well aware, I hope, ISU is made by students for students. So we are meeting with our school reps, and me and Ella are both on our manifestos was to get our connections stronger with the school reps and the regional officers. But even we love just to hear from students all over the Donegal region and to reach out to us. You can always find our emails on the web on ISSU's website. So please do not be hesitated to come and ask us any questions.
So if I'm a student and I'm, say, for instance, in, I don't know, the Abbey Vocational School in Donegal Town, right, and you're a student at Loretto and you're a student at Loretto also, of course, how do I get my voice heard at ISSU? How do I contact you? Is it via the web? Do you go to schools and meet year heads or whatever it might be? So how are you making sure as best as possible that you two can represent the views of students right across the county, as you've outlined, Cassie?
So say if, for example, you were a student, the student should always go to their school representative. Mm-hmm. If they do not have one, they can go ahead and email us at donegal@isse.ie or even our personal emails. They can always come into contact. But they can also go to their student council as well as their school reps. So they always will have options, as well as ISSE does have working groups. So they always can get involved.
All right. OK, excellent stuff. Cassie, what do you want to do when you finish school? You're only 14 at this stage, so maybe you haven't even decided yet. But
Definitely, I would love to do something in mental health and nursing. It's something I love to do, but politics will never be out of the picture.
Okay, you'd be interested in that. Elected politics?
Oh, of course. Why not? All of them.
What about you, Ella? What do you hope? What's your hopes for the future?
Medical science.
Brilliant. Okay. You'll probably be fully qualified at 21, the way you're getting through secondary school. All right, listen, well, fair play to the two of you. Thanks so much for taking time out of your day to call up. People can Google ISSU and get more information, and I presume there's a Donegal section and your contact details there. But it's been lovely speaking to you. Before I let you go, though, I don't want you to leave without, if there's anything that you wanted to say that you feel you, the points that you haven't got across. So was there anything in your mind, Ella, that you says, right, I want to say this, and you didn't get an opportunity to, because I want to make sure you feel that you've had that opportunity?
No, that's perfect.
And what about you, Cassie?
Just never be afraid to get in contact with us. You know, you have a voice and it's important and it also needs to be heard. That's something I would love to take away.
Yeah, definitely. Good note to leave it on. Cassie Lamb, thank you.
Thank you.
And Ella Oko, thank you both very much. Your school and your families will be very proud of you, I'm sure. The two are Donegal Regional Officers for the Irish Second Level Students Union, and we appreciate your time today. Right, okay, we are joined in. I'm not even going to give her an opportunity to settle herself because she's sat down and we're going to go straight at it. And we're going to say good morning now to Brenda Hegarty, Head of Enterprise in Donegal. Good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Craig.
It's great to have
delighted
you
to be here.
In studio with us. Right, okay. So, talk about your job, or actually talk about Enterprise Donegal, what the work it does.
Yeah, well, the local enterprise office is part of Donegal County Council and we receive our funding through Enterprise Ireland. So we're one of 31 local enterprise offices across the country. And we are the first stop shop for anyone planning, starting or growing a business in Donegal.
And it's still a case of getting that message out there, isn't it? I think there are people with ideas or They're currently at something and they feel isolated or alone. And I think every time we have conversations like this, another person realises that there are these types of services there available to them. So what can you do for people?
Yeah, so we offer a wide range of supports, both financial and non-financial supports, to anyone that's thinking of starting a business or maybe in business and would like to grow their business, or maybe they're facing specific challenges. So we offer training, we offer mentoring, we have business advice clinics where there is one-to-one support. We also offer a range of financial support. So maybe if you're in the manufacturing space, you can get startup grants towards the investment in capital or labour or in consultancy. We offer exporting support if you're going into new markets. Trading online is a particularly very popular support, and that's where we help a lot of businesses get online, reach new customers, get new website and develop their interaction online.
And I think, you know, obviously we often straight, you didn't, but we often straight go to the money side of it. How important is the advice, maybe the mentoring, or even maybe if I believe I've got a fantastic idea, right? You know, it's going to make an absolute fortune. Sometimes do you have to give a reality check to sort of say, you know, I know that you think this is this, but, you know, this is our experience or our understanding. I've probably not phrased that correctly because it would sound like cruel advice. And I know it wouldn't be. But sometimes do people need to bounce ideas off you to say, look, we know of companies that try that, or this maybe might not work? You know what I mean? Maybe just an external voice to assist people in decision making.
Yeah, very true. And we're an honest broker, and, you know, we offer that challenge, but in a positive and an engaging way. So we try and work with the client to help them along the process because, you know, it's about customer discovery. It's about knowing what the product is, what problem it is solving, how efficient, how likely somebody is to buy the product once it's brought to market. Is it the right product? Is there refinements needed? Maybe they need some additional technical advice and we can link them in with supports there. Maybe there's patent or trademark. Maybe they've come up with a new invention. So again, we can walk them through that journey. We have start your own business programs, and that allows them to explore individually with a mentor in terms of, is this the right business, and give the entrepreneur the right skills to get the best start in their business journey.
You know, and I'm kind of picking examples here, but you could be someone who's decided to take a different path in life. Maybe you're in your 40s or 50s. And, you know, you're computer literate, but e-commerce, marketing, all that type of stuff, that might be a barrier to you pursuing your ambitions. Again, I presume enterprise could help in that regard.
Of course, because we have the wide range of supports, either to upskill you as an entrepreneur in the new skills that you may need, or maybe be able to provide assistance with you seeking in those specific skills that are required. So maybe you need additional marketing support, maybe product development support, that we can engage mentors or consultants with those specialisms that will help you get the best start in your enterprise journey.
Now we're heading towards Local Enterprise Week 2023. What's the theme of this week?
The theme this year
seems to be come to Donegal and get the work-life balance right.
Yeah, and that's definitely a communication message that we are trying to really project in a national stage. But the theme this year is Be Inspired. So it's all about being inspired to start and grow your business in Donegal. So we have, it's from the 6th to the 10th of March, and it's right across the country, but Donegal has one of the best local enterprise weeks. We have 23 events with our partners and the local enterprise offices put on right across the week. So there is something for everybody.
And listen, you get your inspiration from everywhere, and we'll talk a bit more about this week. But I think anyone, too, who's looking to make a what might seem like a bold decision in terms of business, to listen to the back catalogue of Business Matters, our Business Matters podcast here in Highland Radio, because there's a theme with all of the people in it. Decisions they had to make, crossroads that they were met at, challenges that they had to overcome. You know, these are businesses' brains that are all of them, and not all of them, sorry, many of them, we're just doing something else and then hit upon something, you know, and it's very inspiring stories on a week-on-week basis, I think, as well. As I say, if you're looking for more inspiration, I certainly would get some from that, although I've concluded listening to these people that I am not a risk taker and I will never achieve anything. But anyway, that's fine. Yeah. So talk to me a bit more about how people access Enterprise Week, how they feed into it, how they engage with it.
Yeah, so it's available. The flip book or the brochure is available online. So
is this what I have here?
Yeah, okay. That's the brochure, and that's available online for anybody listening that doesn't have a hard copy on hand. So localenterprise.ie/Donegal. And there you can explore the range of events that's on and also book online. So all events are free. There's 23 across the week and they're right across the county. There is some online, but most are in person. So we're delighted to be back in person because, as you rightly say, enterprise can be a lonely journey. You know, sometimes it's one person and you're facing challenges. So it's a great opportunity to come out, listen to those that might have walked that journey, have faced the same challenges, listen from, you know, with some celebrities there that can bring their perspective in relation to how they navigated the entrepreneurial journey. And again, it's a great opportunity to network and meet people, like-minded people.
You talked about isolation. There probably is no great excuse for it, because you talk about the support from enterprise. Then we have the business Women in Business Network and other networks that are for all men and women and what have you. You know, there's lots out the chamber. We were speaking only yesterday about the chamber. Again, that is at some point, or whenever it suits a business, that is another form of support. You know, more business brains that you can. So, in other words, there is tons out there. It's just a case of tapping into it, I think, if you disagree or not, Brenda.
I fully agree. There's a great network in Donegal in relation to supports that are available for business. You've mentioned Donegal Women in Business Network, and we, in collaboration with them for International Women's Day next Wednesday, have an event in Loch Ace Castle. So it's about building firm foundations. The Chamber, as you rightly say, there is, and the agencies, well, there's the ETB, the ATU, UDRIS, all of which have great people engaged in really wanting to do the best for business in Donegal, give them the supports. If one agency can't do it, then they will signpost and connect you with the right people. So please do reach out.
Yeah,
you
know, and there's lots of little business groups in different towns, Buncrana, Carndonagh, Donegal Town, Ballyshannon. Do you know what I mean? There's different traders groups there as well. This is, I like to be able to ask these types of questions while the guests in studio, because sometimes it's like, well, I won't say it'll confuse the situation, but we do things a wee bit strange in this country, like having a carer's day that carers can't attend because they can't get respite. You know, we do strange things. But anyway, this listener, they have a small business, right? They run by themselves. They would find a lot of the events really, really interesting, but they're concerned a lot of them are going to be on during the day and they simply can't get along to them. Have the times, I'm looking down the times, see they are all during the day. I suppose you have to try and appeal to the masses, but I think you can take, it's an interesting point, isn't it, that they need the help, but they're not going to be able to go and see Bobby Kerr or the Digital Marketing Expo because it's on during their working day.
Yeah, and I do take that point. There is some events in the evening, but maybe that's not the one that they're particularly attracted to. But it's something we can look at in the future. But we would definitely urge the businesses to take time out. You know, them,
if they can. Yeah,
if they can, and, you know, it's not always easy, but we certainly would welcome everybody to the events.
Now, in the booklet that I have, there's the full list of events. We can't really go through them because there's that many of them. And then they're indexed linked to pages later in the book. Yes. Is there some things you want to pick out?
I think if we start with the launch, you know, Bobby Kerr and Tree, you know, a lot of this is about showcasing entrepreneurs that have been a success, but not just looking at their success, looking at their challenges and what the lessons are. So again, we're joined by three local businesses, 3D Issue, Accountant Online and Garten Technologies. On Tuesday, there is a big push on digital marketing, and that's one area where there is significant interest. And again, there is a range of experts and influencers and those that have the technical knowledge to share and their experience. Wednesday, I mentioned the International Women's Day and the event in association with Donegal Women in Business Network. We have ATU, again, looking at the opportunities that our young people can bring to entrepreneurship and really instilling that creativity and innovation and design thinking, because we need more people to plan and start and grow businesses in Donegal. We are not where we should be, and that's a big objective, to try and push the numbers of new starts. And again, ATU, through their enterprise and their student, that's an important area. The digital hubs are looking at the opportunities that the hubs in Donegal are presenting for people to work and start new businesses. We have a lot of tourism events. We have a focus on Donegal Tweed because it's looking at the opportunities that that presents in the county, not just from a business perspective, but also from tourism and
place making. I like that kind of stuff, because it's kind of recognising our tradition, but also looking to the future.
Yeah.
All events are free, are they?
All events are free, but we ask that everybody book and there is food provided, so please do. And it's a great opportunity to connect in. Mm. And then our closing event, I just draw attention to that. We have four sports stars. Enda McNulty, who is a performance, high performance coach, is MC in it. And we have our own Michael Murphy, who's the head of ATU, has just recently retired. Nina Carberry, one of our best jump jockeys, and of course Brent Pope from the world of rugby. And that's a very popular event where we look at leadership and how those leadership lessons from sport can be transferred into local enterprise.
So, okay, there's lots there. Where should people go to get all the information we've been talking about here? Get the online version of this brochure that I'm holding here in my greasy mitts.
Online version of the Be Inspired Local Enterprise Week brochure is on localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Okay, Brenda, thanks for your time this morning. I really appreciate it. Best of success. I'm sure it's going to be great. And at the very least, a fantastic networking opportunity in attending these events as well, because everyone can do a bit of business over a cup of tea or something as well. All right, Brenda Hegarty, Head of Enterprise Donegal, thanks for your time.